Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. Good Wednesday to you as we continue on Sports Map Radio. Matt Michelle, Orlando Sentinel, is going to join us later on to talk college football and where we stand with 2 weeks to go in the regular season. All right, but let's get the good of the day.
Good of the day is something that benefits us all, Tony.
Yes.
That there appears to be a hot dog war happening.
Between who?
Between Sam's Club and Costco.
Oh, okay.
Now, we've all known about Costco's $1.50 hot dog. It's been the same price since 1984, and when one president of Costco asked to change it, the founder of Costco said, I will kill you if you ever change the price.
Good.
So Sam's Club, knowing that'll happen, decided to undercut Costco, and they're now going to be selling their hot dog for $1.38.
Oh,
12 cents
okay.
cheaper.
But, okay, but...
I just like there's a hot dog war.
Is there a hot dog war between two organizations that you have to pay to get in?
No.
So it's not like I'm driving around going, I'm hungry for a hot dog. I will walk into Costco's and get a hot dog. That is a membership benefit of the hot dogs.
You're right.
So I have to join Costco.
I guess it's like 40. If you go there once a month, you're saying that it's like a $40, $41.50 hot dog?
Yeah. But what,
I don't know how much the membership is.
So it would be like if I was at West End Country Club and you were at East End Country Club and we have our burgers for a dollar less. People might go, well, that's true. But here at West End Country Club, it's actually nicer. I like it better. And, you know, so is that... Do you have to sell
Costco?
The pool
is more refreshing at East End, Tony.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right?
Why don't you come check it out?
Check it out. So which box membership store is better?
We had a Sam's Club membership for a year.
Right.
And went twice.
Yeah, I said to my wife, because we have a Sam's Club that's in the next town over, and we never went. And I said, why don't we go? Like, I kind of always liked the free samples. I always enjoyed sample day.
But I don't know. I just, for whatever reason, Costco, you know, we've always had a Costco membership. So we just go to Costco. I mean, we did the whole Sam's Club thing twice. And it was just, you know, like, it was underwhelming.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm getting at. Costco to us, you know, just seemed, I don't know, maybe it's just, you know, old hat. Familiar.
But my favorite thing to do when we went was eating lunch for nothing.
God, just walking around getting all the samples and then finishing it off with a hot dog.
Hot dog, or I would get like two pizzas and a Coke for $5.
It's
like I felt like I was in New York City.
Have you ever done this? All right. I have done this on several occasions. Have you ever just gone to Costco? Not gone into the store itself. Just, you know, walk through the exit. And go directly to the food court to get lunch?
I have not, but I could see myself doing that.
It's very nice.
Is it nice?
Yeah.
It's so cheap.
Yeah, it is. You have $2 in your wallet, you're eating good.
Well, good for Sam's Club for helping out their people with a $1.38 hot dog.
Yep.
That's awesome. All right, what's the bad of the day?
This is something right up your alley.
Okay.
All right, because Disney has filed a patent for a roller coaster that will be able to jump the track.
Is this a true story? Because I saw this and I immediately thought it was false.
Yeah.
Is this a true story?
I believe it is a true story.
All right. Because I said no thank you at all to that. What are they doing?
I don't know.
That can't possibly be good.
It's rumored to be completed in 2030.
No chance.
Walt Disney Imagineering. I mean, if it's one of those things where... I can't even wrap my head around wanting to do it.
Well, the biggest problem with that article is they showed you a picture of a roller coaster that had an empty track, but that's not what they're building.
Right.
Like, that's just an idea that may not be what they're building.
No, and what I figure it's going to be is more like a Hot Wheels look to it, or you know how Rise of the Resistance?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's a literal track. Like a train track, like we see traditional roller
trackless
coasters.
Trackless ride, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be more of a trackless ride that is able to jump over. I think there's still going to be a bottom.
And use powerful magnets?
There can't be air in between
yeah.
one row, like one piece and another piece, and you're like, oh, look, you jumped over a canyon.
Why
no, I don't think you can do that.
Why have I gotten more and more nervous about roller coasters as I've gotten older? Why would
I'm 100% with you.
Why is it that when I was a kid, I would have gone, like, you take me to a carnival? As a kid, I'd write everything and be like, I didn't care who was running it, that was put together with duct tape and rusty screws, that it was built on the back end of a pickup truck.
Yeah.
I would ride it. And now I'm an adult and I'm like, no thanks.
Oh, I won't do a roller coaster at a carnival.
No
Unless it's, sometimes they make them big enough that you can go on with your younger kids.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's up and down. You do like you just went around in a circle. Woohoo. I've done that. But the only roller coasters I'll do is at an amusement park. And even then, I'm getting limited on the ones I will actually do.
Right. Exactly.
I think they're just taking it a little too far.
Well, I went on a roller coaster at Universal Studios a year ago. VelociCoaster is a made on in the dinosaur yeah. Jurassic Park world. And it was incredible. Fast speed. It was incredible. But here's my problem. I'm a little big boned. All right. I'm not hugely overweight, but I'm a little big boned. And when they don't securely fasten that thing, or I need a little help to securely fasten that thing, my confidence in the ride is not at 100%, and it has to be at 100%. Right? I remember being on a roller coaster once where they had to have two people help me push the seat, because it came up to your waist. So you pulled the thing up to your seat and they had to push it to lock it in. At that moment, I should have said, unlock, I'm leaving. I'm out. I don't care how long I waited. No chance. No chance. I'm not going to trust two teenagers pushing a thing to secure me in the seat. Now, like my brother and my son, they just strap that thing down. It fits them like a glove. They're no problem. They don't even think about it. But when you're on a roller coaster thinking that at any moment the hydraulics could just pop out and you're flying 100 feet off the roller coaster at 100 miles an hour, it's not a fun experience. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's it.
Or, you know, for me, it's... there's a roller coaster at a SeaWorld here in Texas, right? And all it does is just goes up and down, but they've made the pitch, like when you get up and over, they made it like very steep.
Oh, yeah.
So you always feel like you're lifting up.
Oh, right. That's the worst.
And, you know, I mean, I understand like that weightless feeling is supposed to be amazing. But
people love it.
At the same time, I immediately goes like, well, like you, it's like, okay, well, what if this belt isn't down hard enough?
I think when I was a kid, I never
slide right on.
I never ever thought of those things.
Oh man, I used to jump on a roller coaster at 50 million loops. I'm like, yeah, do it again.
I know I've said this a few times, but the one thing I will never get on again ever is those drop rides. I'll never get on one of those. I'll never be on a drop ride. I hate those drop rides. I hate them. My son always teases me, and it's always worse when your son teases you. I'm like, I'm not getting on that thing, and he's like, come on. I go, no, I'm not. You're suspended with your feet dangling, and it takes you up, and then you're up there, and then they pauses, and then you can hear the machinery clunk, 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 blop, blop, plop, and then you fall, and you're speeding, and you're going through gravity, and then all of a sudden it's supposed to brake and slow down, but the whole time you're thinking, what if the brakes don't work and I just slam into this thing? I ain't doing it. But yeah, trackless roller coaster
where it just jumps.
But it's Disney, right? Like where is the death-defying, awful, scary ride they've ever made ever in any of their theme parks? It doesn't exist.
I know. And then they're modern marvels. They're geniuses. I mean, the Ride of the Resistance, that ride is I can't explain it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's one of those. It's a ride that is just. I mean, it's like I don't know how it works.
It's absolutely fantastic.
So,
all right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is in order to mitigate travel expenses, UCLA is proposing to its board of regents that, hey, you know what, on these travel costs, because they're going to be jumping up sky high, that perhaps they share flights with USC.
Oh, you know what? No, no, no. This is what you asked for. Sorry. No, no, no. Why travel costs?
USC, USC isn't sitting there going, yeah, let's share flights. UCLA has to find a way because they do have to report to a board of regents.
That's right.
Since
that's
it is right. a state school. USC is a private school. USC is like, hey, we want to blow $30 million on saving the turtles. We'll blow $30 million on saving the turtles. We don't care.
Nope, we don't care. You're 100% correct. They don't have to answer for that, and UCLA does. Boo-hoo, wah-wah.
They may have to answer to their boosters, but their boosters won't care.
No, I'm sorry. Hey, this is what you wanted. I'm sorry. This is what you wanted. All the money that was going to come in, we're going to derail tradition. Oh, no, we're going to create a big mess. We're going to go play Nebraska in volleyball, and we're going to go out there and play Rutgers in swimming. Oh, yeah, no, we don't care. It's fine with us. They're like, yeah, it's one thing for football, but how about your women's basketball team having to go out to play Michigan and Michigan State and then turn around and go play Rutgers and then go turn around and play Ohio State? Oh, no, it'll be fine. Will it be fine? Sharon rides with USC? Okay. Doesn't sound like it's all good in UCLA over there in Westwood, right?
Yeah. That's a tough thing to sell.
Yeah, that's right.
Because what they're estimating is that their travel expenses will go up between $4.6 and $5.7 million.
Sorry. No, that's what you asked for. If I was in the Pac-12 right now, I'd be screaming. I'd be laughing my tail off.
Well, I just, I just think about it, okay? I mean, maybe, the volleyball team, the swim team, the baseball team. I don't even know. I mean, maybe you can get away with that. But can you imagine, like, the football teams sharing a flight? Like, that's going to be peaceful, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. They're going to share a flight. They're going to share a flight with the football team. You got to be out of your mind. What is wrong with you?
I mean, first of all, is their plane big enough for...
I was going to say, can you do that with, 100 people? I think the football team would probably be exempt from this. This would probably be more like the two volleyball teams are going to Michigan. We might as well hitch a ride on the plane.
And that's what they said. That, and also it was like, well, maybe they'll go to neutral site tournaments together, or hey, Big Ten, can you guys schedule this
so
UCLA goes to Michigan and USC goes to Michigan State?
I got a question. So the football team, when they travel, they charter a plane.
Yeah.
Right. Because not only you bring in the team, that your boosters get to fly on it.
No, it's ridiculous.
You fly the plane, but everybody else travels the way we travel. There's no private planes for the volleyball team to travel around the country.
No.
They travel the way we travel. You see them in airports all the time. When you travel a lot, you see sports teams traveling constantly.
Yep.
Right?
The smaller
ones. In any
ones.
Airport in America, all the time.
It's like, when it's like 10, 15 people.
Yeah, when it's like,
there they are.
You see basketball teams. I see teams in airports everywhere I go.
And the hotels they stay in, too, aren't anything to write home about.
So where is the cost savings by splitting the flights with the volleyball team?
I can't imagine it being $5 to $6 million.
That's
what I'm saying. That's a lot of money. I mean,
is it like, if we buy it in bulk, USC, it will save us all money? Like, what is that what we're doing? Maybe we get a 2-for-1 coupon. You can use half of them. We can use half of them.
Maybe they're not talking about football. Maybe they're saying, we can throw our basketball teams in there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Your football team, you can't.
It's
impossible. Your plane is you get a whole plane because you have a whole bunch of people to fill the plane. But the volleyball team that sends 20 student athletes and maybe 3 or 4 coaches, that is usually we're buying the ticket on United and we're flying to Ann Arbor.
I can say this because my wife, she was a part of a college volleyball team, really good ones, and they traveled all over the place. The only time they had a private plane was when they landed at one airport, then had to take a smaller plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where her fear of flying came in.
Yeah, those things are scary.
Because volleyball is a winter sport, and she would have to go and play up in Montana and Washington in the wintertime. And she's like, she thought so many times that she was like, well, this is it, I'm done.
They got de-icing the plane right in front of you. I'm like, don't worry, it'll melt. Don't worry. Like, yeah, I know, you're seeing icicles. Don't worry. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
She was playing Eastern Washington, flying in the middle of a blizzard. And she's like, this isn't right. Why are we even here?
I know. Ugh. Too bad, UCLA. Sorry.
So, yeah.
Figure
UCLA's
it out.
UCLA's got a lot of splaining to do.
You got a lot of phone calls to make. Start hitting them. Start hitting all those alumni for more money. You can do it every year for the rest of life. All right. That's a good, the bad, and the dumb. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.